Well, Psalm 89 is a pretty long psalm, and I'm sure that under inspiration it may have been rewritten several times in different contexts. But I think it started off with David sort of wondering how on earth the promises to him were going to be fulfilled. And we likewise look at the promises to you and me that we shall be kings and priests, king priests and reign on the earth. And you look at our smallness, both physically and in moral terms, and you think, how on earth will I get there? And he reflects on something that we can reflect on, and it's in verses 7 and 8, that God is a very awesome God in the council of the holy ones, feared above all those who are around him. Yahweh, God of armies, who is a mighty one like you? Your faithfulness is all around you. So he imagines God as being in the council of the angels, as if he is surrounded by the angels. And this idea of a court of heaven or a heavenly throne room is quite common in the Bible. It's really strongly seen in Revelation 4 and 5, where you have a peek, as it were, into the heavenly operations. And another little peek that you get is in 1 Kings 22, where Ahab has to be killed, and God is seen as in heaven, with angels, again, all around him. There it says, on the right hand and on the left. And God says, who's going to get Ahab killed? And angels come up with different ideas. And one of them says, I will be a false spirit, as it were, a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets, so that he goes up to Ramoth-Gilead and dies there. And God says, right, you're the one. Yep, that's the idea I go for. And the angel departs from the council, from the throne room, and goes out and does that. And the prophets lie to Ahab, and he willingly, willfully believes them, goes out and is killed at Ramoth-Gilead. So you have a little peek into how things are in heaven. And David, I think, had this sense. And when he was depressed and wondering how on earth the promises to him are going to be fulfilled, he thinks about that heavenly throne room. And we also can do the same. And you can reflect that little me on earth and all my issues are, as it were, discussed by God himself. That's what we're invited to imagine. But they're discussed by God himself with all the angels in front of him, and angels come up with different ideas. And one of them comes up with an idea and God says, that's the one. You know? How can we get Duncan to the kingdom? Or Johnny, or Svetlana, or Tatiana, or Vladimir, or whoever. How can we get this one to the kingdom? And the angels come up with different ideas. And one of them has an idea and God says, right, that's the one. You go do that. That's the way. There is discussion. That's the idea of a council. But there is a discussion. It is not simply God giving orders and sending angels here and there to just obey him. They have this level of ability to work on their own initiative. And you also see how they need to be empowered by him. It's my personal view, although it's a long story, I suppose, that that is the scene you have in Job chapter 1, the sons of God who come before God himself, and a Satan, an adversary, not necessarily a wicked, evil person. Satan at that point, the adversary, says nothing wrong, just makes observations. And of course an angel can be called a Satan, as we know from the case with Balaam. That's, I think, what was going on there. There was a discussion about Job. But does he really believe, or is it because you've given him such a fantastic, materially wealthy life? And God says, okay, you wish to test him, okay, I'll give you the power. But he sets certain limits on the exercise of that power. You shall not slay him. And so it is almost incredible. It is almost too much to believe that little me should be so significant before God that these powerful angels around the throne of God Almighty should discuss you or me and come up with different ideas about the best way to deal with us and discuss that and then be empowered to do what one of them decides is the most appropriate way. And as I say, when David was down and thinking, well, how on earth is it all going to pan out? How on earth can I get from here to there? Well, this was his reflection, that actually, as you see cotton wool clouds drifting across the sky, no, beyond the apparently steely silence of the skies, there is God. And there is not only God as an individual, but this huge system of heavenly judgment and heavenly discussion and a huge amount of heavenly activity. This, of course, was the same outline message that was given to the captives in Babylon when they're given these visions of the cherubim, that actually all is not static. That is how it seems as day drifts by day after day, but there is a huge activity on your behalf, ultimately geared towards your salvation.